Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we discuss the All Stakes Pick 4, races 9 through 12, at Monmouth on Haskell Day, Saturday, July 19th, 2025. This is show number 329, July 18th, 2025. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. How's it hanging, Chris?
Going well. I mean, we're past the Triple Crown. Now we're into the summer three-year-old stakes races, and the Haskell is probably the second biggest of those summer events next to the Travers. And we're going to see some of the Triple Crown performers in there and one of the, you know, top three-year-olds for sure. So it feels like summer.
And it also reminds me of years past when, you know, they're like Triple Crown contenders and they come back for the Haskell. You know, many years we only get one or two. Well, I guess we probably only have one or two in this case. But the journalism that he was in all three Triple Crown races and then he's in this race is a big deal. And we know Sovereignty is going to keep racing. So it just feels like more like a more robust crop than usual.
Yeah, in the past, it was always a Baffert horse that what's coming from the Triple Crown into the Haskell as the favorite. So the different thing this year is it's not a Baffert horse that everyone's trying to beat. It's Baffert's one of the ones trying to beat the big horse coming into the Haskell. So be interesting to see how that plays out.
And to help us try and be that horse, we think, we have a special returning guest. He's a professional horse player who's qualified for the NHC 15 times. He's a member of the NHC Players Committee. He's Ross Gallo. Ross, welcome back.
Guys, how are you? So good to be back. Love the pod.
And you were here with us recently, as recently as January. So it's nice to get you 6 months later. It's nice to have a little dose of Ross Gallo.
I know I'm usually a once a year guy. That's why I'm feeling very honored to be back this quickly. But anytime you need me.
Good to know. So Ross, we're covering Monmouth this week, but this is the Saratoga meet. It's happening. And do you have any plans on visiting Saratoga?
Actually, I'm going to be there a week from today, weather permitting. I'm going up. My wife's up there right now in New York, watching her brother's house and his dog. And I'm going to be going up next Tuesday, and we're hope to go up there for the day on Friday. So it's been a couple of years since I've been there, and I'm looking forward to it. So I hope the weather cooperates.
I hope so too, because we're doing the pod. We're covering Saratoga, unless it's a torrential downpour, at least a scheduled torrential downpour. Chris, do you have any questions for Ross?
No, I think we're ready to roll into the card at Monmouth Park.
Rock and roll.
Okay, well, we're doing the Pick 4. It's an all-stakes Pick 4. It runs from races 9 through 12. And the first race is the Wolf Hill Stakes. 5.5 furlongs on turf, purse of 100,000 for three-year-olds and up. And Ross, you know the drill. You get us started.
Right. Well, the sixth horse here from South Africa, Izzy Vungu Vungu, is coming out of a grade one, and he's fired fresh a bunch of times. And the seven has got five wins at Monmouth. The rest of the field has only one. And they ran together a few back, and they were at the wire together. And, you know, I wouldn't talk anybody off either one of those, but I don't know what fun is there in that. They're going to be low price. The one and two are trying turf for the first time. Another couple of horses that ran together a few races back. But neither one's tried turf. They both got speed, though, and there's some other 21 and change speed in here. So I'm going to take a little bit of a stretch with the three horse, Fierce and Strong. The horse is perennially a router, but he's got three turf sprints showing on here. They're not evenly spaced or anything like that, but they're improved efforts each time. And I think he's got the right style here to maybe sit, you know, right off the pace or in the middle of the pack and make one run. I'm going to need a little bit of an improvement, but I've got Tyler Connor, who's I think is an underestimated jockey. And he's actually ridden him three times with two wins in a place. No, three wins. I'm sorry. Three wins and three starts. So I'm going to take a chance with the three Fierce and Strong in this opener.
Okay, Fierce and Strong, actually 7-for-12 on turf and 11-for-12 in the exact, a pretty stellar record. Chris, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with everything Ross said. The one thing I'll point out, though, is the 1, 2, and 4, all three of them have never been on the turf. They're all older horses. I'm wondering if they're even going to go in this race, if it stays on the turf, which it looks like it is based on the weather forecast. So they might be like pseudo MTOs. So this race could be completely different than it looks on paper right now. I just want to point that out. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just wondering why all these good dirt sprinters are in a turf sprint all of a sudden, you know, at age 5 or 4 or 5. So keep that in mind. This race, you know, have to see what the scratches are. But actually, of those three, I do like the one horse, Bucciarino. He's bred to like the turf, and he's the best on the dirt of those three, and he's got speed and an inside post. So if he actually runs in the race, I like him quite a bit. But I don't really know for sure whether or not he will go. So that's the big question mark there. I have another opinion if he doesn't go, but I'll hold off and let Scott weigh in before I say anything else. But just keep that in mind. I'm not sure, you know, what the actual field's going to be. And that's one thing I don't like about Monmouth. There tends to be a lot of scratches, and it's hard to anticipate them all.
The flag for horses that may scratch, usually when there's no rider, they often scratch. So I think that's the case with several of the horses in the sequence. I'm gonna pick Super Chow, even though he's got no rider, and I'm gonna pick him in case he runs. But I'm not expecting him to run, but I am expecting Bucciarino to run because Johnny V is listed as the rider, and I don't see why they wouldn't run him. Super Chow also is not run on the turf, and I don't know if he's going to like the turf or not, but I know that sprinters that do 5.5 dirt sprinters that do 5.5 furlongs on the turf can often handle it. What they can't handle is 7 furlongs or more on the turf. So I'm gonna pick Super Chow because he's fast. He's 4-for-5 on wet and 7-for-22 on dry. I figure between those mixes, add turf and he can probably handle it. But if he does not scratch, then I'm gonna be on two different horses. Nothing Better and Easy Vungu Vungu. I'll pick Nothing Better as my sort of second choice. He'll be my first if Super Chow scratches. He's second off the layoff. Last year he improved dramatically off that layoff to win. Before winning this race, he gets in light. He shows a sizzling workout coming into this. The best in a long time. Maybe his best ever. My sheet doesn't go that deep. He can sit just off the speed brigade and swoop in. I will have him as my top pick if Super Chow does not scratch.
Can I amend a little bit? As
yes, you can.
Chris pointed out maybe the 1, 2, and 4 don't run. I mean, if that were to happen, I'd have the race identical to you. I would go 7-6. I would need, like, for my horse to run, I need all these speed players to run. So I hadn't considered that the 1, 2, and 4 may scratch. I know the 2 has listed to no rider, so I assume he was a possibility. That would still leave plenty of speed for me, though. But if the 1, 2, yeah. and 4 happen to go, it's 7, 6 for me all day. So anyway.
Yeah, for me, if the dirt horses all go, I still would like Bucarino because I think he's better than the others. I mean, he did run against Super Chow and kind of crushed him last time they ran against each other. So
I agree.
And he seems to be more likely to be bred. You know, his breeding says he'll like the turf more than Super Chow. And he's younger, so you know, he hasn't had as many races, you know, so the fact they haven't tried him on the turf yet isn't quite as surprising. So I mean, if those two go, I know Super Chow will be a better price, but I just don't see him beating Bucarino. But the other way I might play this race, and it just depends on how they bet it, is I agree if the several of those dirt horses do stay, there's a lot of speed. And for me, it sets up for a closer. And for me, Eamon, the 8, is by far the best closer. I've cashed on him before. He has a nice kick, but he is pace dependent. I don't like the 9-2 price, but I was surprised at that. I have a feeling he could go off at higher. I think the 6 and the 7 will take a lot more money than he will. So, you know, at if he floats up above that price and the speed stays in the race, then, you know, I might be taking a long look at him. If he and Bucarino are both in the race, you know, I could see me trying to beat those two favorites with those two. But that would be my other potential opinion in the race, depending on what the final field looks like. And I'm still skeptical about how many of those horses will go. I agree with Scott. The one most likely to scratch probably is Super Chow, given that he doesn't have a rider name. But I'm not convinced just because the others have riders named, it means that they're going to go either. But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, let's go to the 10th race. It's the Molly Pitcher, Grade 3, mile 16th on dirt, purse of 500,000. Fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. And Chris, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, I'll start out by the horse I really liked in here was the 7, Leslie's Rose, but she is running in about an hour at Saratoga, so I don't think she's going to go in this race. So I think she'll be a scratch, so that changed my opinion on this race. With her out, I think the 3 randomized is clearly the horse to beat. This horse is really tough on the front end. As long as the horse, you know, it caught a sloppy track last time, did not handle it at all. Just like Leslie Rose, they both came out of the same race. And, you know, that was the race where it was sitting on a second half off the layoff, I expected to see a big effort. It just didn't handle the track, but now that just muddies up its form. And it looks like it definitely can get the lead in here. And I just think it's the one to beat. I'm not convinced 9-2 is a real kind of likely off odds for that horse. That's the morning line. So the price is a bit of a question, but I think it's the most likely winner. And, you know, if it's anything close to the morning line, that's the way I would go. And I would, most people will probably listen to this after the race is off, but I'm going to be betting Leslie's Rose at Saratoga today. So I like that horse in either spot.
All right, randomized 5 for 11 on fast dirt tracks, and has a Grade 1 win in the Alabama. So 9-2 would be kind of a gift. Chad Brown, Flavian Pratt, probably lower 9-2.
Yeah, it seems unlikely, right? The one thing I did forget to mention is Raging Sea, who's the favorite in the Leslie Rose race at Saratoga today, a stablemate of randomized. They trained together, and I thought randomized definitely outworked Raging Sea. So I think the horse is training really well and ready, you know, sitting on a big race, and I think its best effort certainly can win.
All right, Ross, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm in absolute total agreement. I might even take it a step further. I love the 3 horse in this race. I think the 3 is a mortal lock in this race.
Whoa.
So 9-2 is an impossibility. Horse will not go off 9-2. Probably I'll say 2-1. I had a couple of reasons I'll run by. First, the 1 horse, last time out, that was a perfect trip. And this horse worked a little harder than I like to see off a perfect trip at 4 to 5. So, and the 3 ran with the 5, Darth Vader, 2 back, beat the horse on the square. That day, they both beat Torpedo Anna at equal weights. I'm not a weight guy. I'm really not. But last time, they ran together and randomized gave Darth Vader 6 pounds. It was a sloppy track that day. And you know that Saratoga, I can give you some quirky results when they get sloppy like that. So I'm crossing that race off. And now today, look what we have. Now randomizes getting 6 pounds. So that's a 12-pound turnaround to Darth Vader. I just think the horse goes down the road. It looks like the easiest race of the card, other than Imperial Journalism. But one other note I'd make, this Majestic Oops is a up-and-comer. I really love the way the horse is running the last way out. So maybe a 2-speed number, 3-4 is a possibility. But I love the 3 horse.
You're making me nervous because I landed on randomized 2.
That's a lot of weight.
That's a hell of a lot of weight. Especially
there goes the 12-pound allowance down the drain. About 500 and change.
Yeah. So I don't think randomized is a mortal lock.
I do.
But I do. That is the horse that I landed on. Didn't get a lead in the last on the slop, had never run on it. Chad Brown said that, you know, once she didn't get the lead, she just tossed, threw in the towel. She should get the lead. This is really her, you know, it's really her second off a layoff. If you toss that complete non-effort out and she gets weight from 4 of these horses. So I'm with you guys on randomized. But I'm also going to use Power Squeeze. Did not look good in her last. I watched the replay. I didn't like the race, but she was against the speed flow. And her last 2 before that, she faced White Abario. And she also gets in at 118. So she's got to be respected. So Power Squeeze and randomized will both be on my ticket.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
please, you go.
I was going to say, I agree with what both of you say. I think Power Squeeze is the one that's the biggest threat to randomize, and I agree. Majestic Oops may get overlooked a bit based on the connections, could float up, and that horse certainly could be, you know, I could see using that one underneath randomized. So I kind of agree with both of you. No disagreement.
I just wanted to make a note about Power Squeeze. I thought this for the longest time, this horse was a 1-run closer. And I don't know, they got him a little closer to the pace. I don't think that's going to help the horse's bottom line, truthfully. I always like the horse is a 1-run closer. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know what it was doing close to the lead in the White Abario race, but that last race, they just went so slow.
Yeah.
She really went about as slow as she can go. And she was still 2 lengths off. And that in the race,
there were only 4 horses.
Yeah, and they weren't going very. So that was that race to me was just a funky race. And the one before that, you're right. I'm not sure why they were up on the pace when she was in over her head to begin with. I don't even know why they entered that race. But, you know, I wouldn't hold. I don't think either one of their last 2 races were that bad. So that's the way I would look at it. She's a pretty good horse, and she's won at Saratoga before. And I have a feeling she's not going to be up on the lead in here. No way. So.
Yeah. So Power Squeeze, you know, she was kind of her January 25th and March 29th races were both good efforts for her. They were like her top buyers. So she was kind of due for an off race. So I'm not going to complain about how she didn't look good. If it was an off race, it was an off race. But hopefully she's ready now. And she's 7-2 morning line, and that seems about right.
Yeah, I remember there is a scratch, but it was a long shot. But, yeah, I mean, this race, I don't know about that morning line. We'll see. It just 9-2 on randomized doesn't seem right.
No, it has no chance of being 92.
Absolutely. So if that one's as far off as I think it might be, I'm not sure what the other prices will be.
Well, I don't think Majestic Hoops will be 6-1 either. I think she'll be more like 4-1.
I thought she would be higher. That's the one that might get overlooked. Yeah, Darth Vader's going to take money. Candy'll take money. Power Squeeze will take money. Randomize going to take money. So I could see her floating up. That's the one I think might go up. The rest of them I don't know about.
All right, well, it should be a good race either way, no matter how the odds end out unfolding. Next is the 11th race. It's the United Nations Stakes, Grade 2, 1.375 miles on turf. Purse was $600,000 for three-year-olds and up. Ross, your turn to go.
Well, you'd have to agree with me that this is the toughest race of the sequence, the best race of the sequence, I think, is from a betting perspective. I think there's a bunch of ways you could go here. You've got the top three finishers from this race last year are running. Get Smokin', Grand Sonata, and Tawny Port. I believe they ran 1, 2, 3 in this race last year. Hold on, I gotta look at my notes here. Redistricting looked good winning last time. Brad Brown, that'd take big money, probably be close to favoritism. That's not where I'm going. Either of you watched Limited Liabilities races, two of the last three races this horse ran? With in three turn races in the front stretch past the grandstand, going from like nearly last to first. I mean, both races ran real well, but I don't think that's a tenable way to run. It actually kind of reminded me of Secretariat's Preakness. You guys ever seen that race? Everyone always talks about the Belmont. Everyone's seen that 30 lengths. And, you know, the record in the Derby. But no one ever talks about the Preakness. Have you seen that Preakness race? Do you remember Secretariat? I know I'm showing my age. Have you seen Secretariat's Preakness?
Who? I'm kidding. I don't remember that race.
Do me a favor. If you haven't seen it or you haven't seen it in a long time, just pull it up on YouTube.
I've retweeted it before on Twitter many times. It's very, he made about as impressive a move as you could possibly make.
From last, broke dead last.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he did it on the first turn when none of the horses are tired.
Swooped the field.
It just like without any effort at all. So yeah, it was impressive, but I don't think Limited Liability is quite.
I'm not comparing Limited Liability to Secretariat in any way. I just, you know, there's things to catch your eye over the years. Arazi, people talked about that move for years. That horse lived on the reputation of that one move that day and never really came to anything. But this horse reminded me just, I don't know, the way, I don't understand how you could use that as a style of running. Anyways, I don't know why I got off track there. I'm sorry. I'm not picking Limited Liability either. Although I think that it's commendable that the horse off those two times in the last three races, making that move in the front stretch and then still, you know, hanging around for the end is pretty impressive. But I'm going to go with Corruption as my selection here, the one.
I forgot to mention Corruption is a likely scratch.
Oh, great.
According to Mark Cassie.
Well, lovely.
Yeah. And it figures because Get Smokin', who's also trained by him, and they're both speed horses.
Yeah, but I wasn't worried about that. I was happy that was happening because I think this horse could rate it. I thought that was the spiel I was going to get onto here. He's got two in here. Get Smokin' has had the lead in 10 straight races. England is not going to change today. I think this horse is tractable. I thought the one horse is tractable. He's going to scratch. Great. So, all right. Well, I'm going to have to think about it then. So
I'll write it down, but it's pretty much fait accompli. He is not running.
So the list of horses, they're not going to run. This is a great place. All right.
Hey, that happens at every track.
Not that much. It doesn't.
It's more at a month. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised a couple of these scratch in here.
You got another no horse. You got another no rider on the outside horse, right?
I drew the 12 post. Yeah, my guess is Hush of a Storm probably won't go, given the post and the lack of a rider. Anyway, so are you done, Russ?
Yeah, go for it. I don't know.
You got to figure out.
Ruined figure. My train of thought is all lost. I had a whole bunch of stuff to say. Now it's done.
It's all corrupted.
It is corrupted. Yeah, the horse had a tough trip last time. A way better look than looked fourth. He ran against Firebridge, who would probably be chalk in this race. It was at the wire with him at Gulfstream. I had a whole spiel. Oh, he's going to scratch. Well, I didn't know that. I'm all bummed out now. like this horse.
Well, hopefully you can rally by the time Chris and I get through our spiel.
All right,
Chris,
go ahead.
Chris, what do you got?
Well, I do think this is a race where the favorites all have question marks and everybody else has a chance if they get the right trip. So it is a crazy wide open race. I don't have a strong opinion, but probably I think the best value will be the 9 Major Dude. The big question for him is the distance. He hasn't been this far, but I don't really see any reason why he couldn't get the distance. He has had really not good trips at all in the last 3 or 4 races. And, you know, he's had a good rider, but I don't know. Just IRAD has not given this horse good rides. IRAD's on another horse in here, Grand Sonata, the other Pletcher. Johnny Velasquez is actually 2 for 3 on this horse, so maybe just fits the horse better. He's not typically not a better turf rider than IRAD, but if this horse can get a halfway decent trip, I think he has a chance, and he'll be a big price. Again, I don't love him or the race, but that would be the long shot, that, you know, the best value. And if I bet this race, it'll probably be not a big bet, but trying to hit exotics with some price horses, and Major Dude would be on all the tickets, not necessarily to win, but that's probably how I bet it. And I can talk about some other horses I'm interested in, but I'll let Scott, and then maybe Ross will be ready to weigh in, and then I can come back.
All right. So I do have a kind of a strong opinion in this race. I really like Rebel Red. He's always been highly regarded. He's just coming into his own. He just won a decent stake race, but it was not a graded stakes. In fact, he hasn't earned a graded stakes win. And I think they want this, and I think he gets it today. He just won at the distance. He raced far back of a slow pace and rolled to win. And I just think he's on. And because redistricting is going to be over bet, I think Rebel Red is going to be 7-2 or higher, and I will have a big fat win bet on him.
Jump in, Ross, if you have anything.
Well, I'm gonna if the one is indeed going to scratch, I'm gonna revise my selection to the 5 Grand Sonata. You made some good points with Major Dude, but I'll take IRAD. I know IRAD was on him last time, but it was a dirt race. Just cross it off. Doesn't really matter. He was on him 3 back. I was trying to look for something a little off the pace here. I thought Corruption was going to get the first run, but he's not going to run. So horses, 3 places and 3 starts at the distance. Maybe he can get up today. So a lukewarm, a very tepid nod to Grand Sonata.
Yeah, he ran well in this race last year. Yeah. And like you said, you could throw out his – that was a 1.75-mile race too, which is longer, kind of really long, and it was on the sloppy track. You can throw that out. And in his race before that, where he lost a limited liability, he didn't have the greatest of trips that day.
No, he didn't.
So yeah, I could see him. But, you know, 6-1 doesn't get my juices flowing on him, but I think any horse you can make a case for, he's one of them. Rebel Red, I like the horse. He is a bit pace dependent and tough to ride. He's only has one eye. And the thing I'm a little worried about him is he's probably a horse that it's probably good to have some experience riding him. And he gets a good rider in Saez, but he's never been on this horse before. And Jose Ortiz is probably riding some horses in Saratoga, so that's probably why he's not here. And, you know, that could cost him if you know, not lack of familiarity. So there's a question there. And you know, with redistricting that favorite, you know, the distance is a question on him. So, you know, he's not bulletproof, and limited liability, like Ross said, he's a quirky horse. He pulls his rider into the race early. I mean, he said, he's done that every race. He just makes that move. They try to rate him, but you know, he always pulls himself into the race. But he always, you know, digs in late too. He's a good horse, but that riding style is a tough way to win, especially with a horse like Get Smoking in the race, who's going to be smoking on the front end. And if he pulls Dettori all the way up to the lead with that horse, it's going to be hard to hold up people off. So all the favorites, I think, you know, have questions. They could win, but the, you know, shorter price, I'm not that interested in. You know, Get Smoking is kind of interesting, but I think he'll get bet because he won this race last year. But they did they're trying exactly the same thing. They gave him a prep on the synth. Now they stretch him out. He's going to go, and he's dangerous on the front end because everyone knows he's going to go, and nobody wants to go with him. If Limited Liability wasn't in here, I would probably be more hot, you know, more eager to play Get Smoking. I'm just afraid, watching all Limited Liability's races, he's going to make that middle move. And if he gets at the throat latch of Get Smoking early in the race, that's not going to help Get Smoking at all. If he doesn't, then Get Smoking's dangerous, but that's a big if. Like I said, he's not going to be a big price. So the only other horse I was kind of interested in, maybe from a betting standpoint in here, was the 6 horse Vote No. This is a horse who, you know, tried that mile and a half for the first time, last time out. And he's really bred to like it out of a More Than Ready mare by Divisadero. And man, he looked really good the way he came rolling late in that race. He just may be a horse that, you know, will really be better at these longer distances. So, and he's sort of got the upside. He's only a 4-year-old. You know, he's shown that he's better with the distance. And he might be the surprise horse in here. Could get overlooked in the vote and the betting a bit. Voting, the little Freudian slip on the name. So that would be the other one. Major Dude and Vote No. Those two I'll probably be using. Try to catch, you know, a big try or super or exacta. That's the way I would bet this one.
I will, you know, I wrote on Vote No sheet, I wrote, he could improve or he could react. And I would let price dictate. And he is 10 to 1 morning line and probably be 10 to 1. So I'd be inclined to use him at that price, that dictates and include at that price. I have a couple other horses that I'm sort of interested in. I'm going to play a pick four where I single Rebel Red, and I'm going to have a win bet on him. But if I do something else, there are other horses that interest me in this race. Get Smoking does interest me at 8 to 1. Starting Over is a pretty good horse, and he's fast, and he gets in at only 118. It's his third race of the year. He's 12 to 1. What do you guys think of him?
He ran in this race last year. He was another one that ran in the race. He ran 11th. I don't know if you can really count that, but that last race was pretty good. Was dueling on the pace a lot and was right there at the wire. Vote No came from like out of the pack and then swooped out and ran them by. I wasn't so sure that race was that strong. That's why I was kind of against Vote No. I'm not really against them. I just wasn't going to endorse them. I wouldn't talk anybody off them.
One other horse that I will mention, because I had a big score with him, but also I think he's got a chance to get into the super, and that is Lord Eddard Stark. He does have a bad post, but he's going to drop way back. He loves the distance. He loves distance racing. His trainer, you know, he won for me at 2 miles. This is only 1 3/8. Maybe it's a little short for him. but he could get into the super at 31 or more. I like the pattern coming into this race. And, no matter who you have in the first, on top, if Lord Eddard Stark gets into that super, it's going to pay something.
Yeah, I think any of them could hit the super in this race.
I agree.
Certainly. I mean, Tawny Port doesn't seem to be in great form, but certainly has run races that could hit the board at the very least in here. And you can throw out that last race probably. So.
Yeah, the one before that wasn't very good either, though.
Yeah, but
although the horse is capable, you're 100% right.
So. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see. This race, I'm really surprised that Scott has that much confidence in any horse in this race. I don't have any much against Rebel Red, but, you know, this just seems, you know, wide open, especially for horses that are going to be coming from way out of it that need a trip, you know.
I'll tell you why I like Rebel Red, a little bit more. There was scuttlebutt when he was first starting racing this year. His trainer set at Jose Ortiz took the mount off the layoff, and the trainer said he wasn't ready yet, but that they had really high hopes for him this year. And it took him three races to get his win. And I think now is the time that he improves and becomes one of the classiest top turf horses in the country. And I think this is the last time you're going to get a price on them. Not a huge price, but it's still, I think he'll be played hard in his next race, that if he wins this one.
Yeah, I would point out that he has been beaten twice by Limited Liability. So if you like Rebel Red, you got to like Limited Liability, I would think.
Yeah, I don't like Limited Liability. Limited Liability gets good in the fall.
Well, I don't think that running style is sustainable, personally. It's going to catch up to you, especially when you get, like Chris pointed out, if he does that move to get up to get smoking, it's just going to compromise them both. That's all he's going to do. So
yeah, but if he doesn't,
if he doesn't, the 11 has to be moved up. Then, I mean, the 10.
Yeah, but so does he. I mean, look at his races. He's made these ridiculous middle moves and almost won his last two races. He only lost by a head and a neck. I mean, he's a good horse. And if he ever learns how to, ration that energy a little better, maybe he won't. He's 6 years old. So are you going to teach a six-year-old? But, Dottori's stuck. They're sticking with Dottori, and maybe, he'll finally figure him out in here. But, even if he does make his middle move, he's still, been running against good horses. Utah Beach and Integration.
Sure.
Those horses will be the favorites in here. Big favorites. So, he's a good horse. I have a lot of respect for that horse, but I agree. He's his own worst enemy for sure. And that, and his presence in the race is why I'm not picking Get Smokin'. If he wasn't in this race, I would be on Get Smokin', because I don't think anybody's going to want to challenge him. I don't think they want to challenge him on Limited Liability. They just might not have a choice just because of the horse. But, I think he could be really dangerous on the front end. But with Limited Liability in there, I have a feeling that, somewhere on the backside, they're going to be nose to nose early on. And that won't help either one, but especially Get Smokin'.
Right. Let's go to the marquee race of the card. It's the Haskell, grade one, mile and eighth on dirt, purse of $1 million. The 3-year-olds. Chris, you're trying to get us started.
Yeah, this race drew a pretty good field, I think. It should be for $1 million, you would think. Bob Baffert's owned this race in the past, but, this year hasn't been his year so far. He does have a horse in here that's a contender. Journalism is the place you got to start. And, he's a really good horse. He ran better than I expected in the Belmont. I really expected him to regress off his other races. But I still think he's a candidate to regress. And now he's going to be a super short price. 4 to 5 seems way too high on the morning line. I expect him to be half that in here probably. And I think he's beatable. And so two ways to play it. You can either just single him. It sounded like Ross might be heading in that direction. Or you try to beat him. And I'm going to try to beat him. I think there's three horses that could beat him. So I'm going to try to beat him out of the win and the picks, but probably out of the exact and try as well. I'm having a hard time separating the three I like, especially the top two. So from a betting standpoint, I'm not really going to separate them, but for the purpose of the pod, I'll go with the 4 Burnham Square as my top play. To me, he's been a really good horse, and he's, in the races where he's had a decent trip, and it seems like there's enough speed in here to help him out from a pace standpoint, he's been really good. If you remember back early in the year when he won the Holy Bull with a nice closing kick, He was one of the ones everyone was talking about. He actually beat Tappan Street or Tappan Street in that race, and who came back and beat Sovereignty the next time out, or in the Florida Derby. And his next start was Fountain of Youth. He didn't have to win that race. He had just won the Holy Bull. He was kind of locked to make the Derby, and then we're going to crank him up, you know, that early. And so he didn't run bad, but, you know, in fact, he got beat by Sovereignty in there. There's no shame in that. Then he won the Bluegrass, and the Derby, he's the one horse that had a, you know, a legitimate no chance trip. I mean, Brian Hernandez tried to squeeze him through on the rail like he did Mystic Dan the year before, and he got, the door got slammed shut, and Burnham Square's race was over. But, you know, to me, you can excuse that. Plus, it was on the sloppy track. He may not have liked that as much. And then his race at Churchill, if you watch, it just went super slow early on the front end, and he was still going to win, but they, again, Hernandez tried to squeeze him through on the rail, and he just didn't want to go through. You know, eventually he got through and galloped out well, but, you know, I think he had a legit excuse in there. And I'm hoping Hernandez, who loves to skim the rail, maybe has learned in these last two races that, you know, this horse needs to get out in the clear to run his best race. So I'm anticipating he won't stick him on the rail in the stretch like he has the last two. He's going to get this horse out in the clear. And when he's been out in the clear, he's looked really good. So I think he is very playable in here, especially if they bet Journalism down to like 2 to 5. You know, he's definitely a playable price, but I'm not just going to rely on him. I'm going to try to beat Journalism. There's some other horses I'm going to try to use with him, but that would be the one I'll go with as a play.
Burnham Square, well known because he was in the Kentucky Derby. And in fact, he was 19-1, but he finished sixth despite trouble. And it should be noted that his dam is named Linda. Ross, what do you think?
Interesting note. Well, you know what else he's noted for, right? Burnham Square?
No.
I picked him in the Fountain of Youth podcast. I was on that. That's when we were talking about that Justin Queso, the filly that was working out with him. And she ran in the last race. We were all on her, and she ran up the track like a bat.
Oh, yeah.
But I picked Burnham Square in the Fountain of Youth podcast. One of my few winners.
Yeah, I think Justin Queso was the horse that had been training with Sovereignty, because I didn't like
Justin Queso. Justin Queso was training with this horse here.
Okay. All right.
100%. Actually, Justin Queso ran five furlongs on the turf the other day. Ran halfway decent. I bet her. She ran third, so I didn't cash, but she ran all right. I think maybe she might want to sprint. I think maybe the turf might be the way to go. Anyway,
just to set the record straight, I believe you picked Burnham Square for the Holy Bull because you were on January.
No, I
31st.
Did not.
Yeah,
I picked the horse when the horse won.
You were on January, right? Yeah, he won the Holy Bull. He lost the Fountain.
All right, I'm sorry. The Holy Bull. I take it back. The Holy Bull. It was Holy Bull Day. Whenever the horse won, that's when I was on, and I picked the winner.
Hey, we were both on it.
You might have been on it too.
Yeah. It was an exciting day.
And that was Justin Queso ran the last race that day. We gave that horse out as an addendum.
I think it might have been like a triple-barreled pick.
Triple-barrel pick. Yeah.
And it went off at like 4-1 and ran up the track.
Up the track.
Something happened to it.
She actually won, I think, the next race or the one after that, an allowance race somewhere. But that's the last winning she's done. Anyways, sidetracked. I'm sorry I misspoke. It wasn't Fountain of Youth Day. It was Holy Bull. Holy Bull, that's right. Anyway, so I agree with Scott a little bit, and I disagree with him a little bit, too.
You mean Chris?
I'm sorry, not Scott, Chris. I'm misspeaking all over the place here. I don't think this race is that strong at all. I think there's like some overmatched speed in here. I know Gosker, I actually like Gosker a little bit in the Preakness. The horse, like, shagged, you know, quitting speed and then opened up and then they ping pong ball behind and he opened up and still got run down. I don't see that I don't see the trip that he's in, a winning trip. I can't see a winning trip of Gosker. And the goal-oriented, who's firing bullets for Baffert, I'm not really seeing the trip there because that's going to be off the pace. I just think, I don't know, if Rispoli doesn't butcher the ride like he's done, if I owned this horse, I would have replaced him long ago. I have nothing really against him. I don't think he's a championship jockey. I think he's 10 times better on turf than dirt. And you only get so many races with these really good horses. I would have traded out for somebody a long time ago, 3 or 4 races ago. I think even in winning, he's butchered rides. So if he does lose, like Chris thinks he could lose, I think it'll be because of the jockey, not because of the horse. Because if he stays flat on his feet, he's got to mow these down, I think. But this is where I agree with Chris. Burnham Square, I think there's going to be some pace on here, some pretty good pace, and I think that a 2-4 could be a nice cold exacta to play. So that's the way I'm going. 2-4.
All right. Well, so I am in agreement with Chris that journalism, I think, is vulnerable. I think he has been raced a little too much. I mean, I appreciate them running horses like more often than once every 6 weeks. But, he's run some serious races. And his last, he finally got a good trip, ran the best he could. And, he couldn't beat Sovereignty. And I think that it's time for a break for this horse. And it's time for some new faces. Now, Burnham Square isn't really a new face, but he ran a big bluegrass. He had trouble in the Derby. Then he came back strong in his last. I really liked that race. He ran grittily on the inside the whole time. He almost got up. Then he galloped out past the winner. He's circling back to his best race. And he is the best price of the three horses that I think can take down journalism potentially. I will be playing this pick 4 and not including journalism. I'm going to be using those three horses, but I'll let Chris mention the next one, which we probably have the same three horses.
Yeah, I'm probably sure we do. Just 4 more on journalism, because I said he's going to regress. I think he'll regress. Yeah, I totally agree with Ross. I mean, Rispoli, he's an accident waiting to happen. He makes bad decisions. In that Preakness, it was the horse and the stewards that bailed him out, because the horse should have had no business winning that the way he rode it, and the stewards had no business leaving him up. He bulled his way through. He should have been taken down. I absolutely disagree with anybody who thinks that horse should have stayed up. He was the best horse, no doubt, but you can't just bull your way out, even if you're the best horse. So, to me, that rider, and that wasn't the only bad race. I mean, and somehow, in a 4 or 5 horse field in the San Diego Derby, he almost got, taken out of the race. So I don't know. I expect, either they'll park him wide or he could get into trouble. So there's that. But, also, I just can't believe in his last race he was favored over Sovereignty. That made no sense at all. I mean, this horse tends to get over bet. He's good, but he doesn't lay over this field. And it just seems highly unlikely that he's going to run a really good race in here. I'll be surprised. I think he's got to regress some. And, Gosker did get beat on the square by journalism. But remember, that was, Gosker has upside. He could improve off of that. And they're cutting back in distance a little here. I mean, I thought he ran a really good race, and now this is shorter. Monmouth tends to be speed favoring. He could get a perfect trip off of the early speed, get the lead late, and be hard to run down at this distance, especially if he's improved some. And these 3-year-olds this time of year, after a couple months can improve, and they can regress if they've been heavily raced like journalism. So, you have to keep in mind that they're not machines. And at this, especially 3-year-olds, they're getting better, and sometimes they regress. And I think you got horses that could be going in the right direction and one that might be heading in the wrong direction. We don't know. He just could be exceptional and never, just an iron horse that can keep cranking out good races. And maybe his rider will get lucky again and get bailed out by the horse. But, that's a lot count on a horse that's 2-5 or 3-5. To me, you just got to bet against a horse like that. So, you know, Gosger's the other one. I'm pretty strong. And there's a third horse. Well, I'll give that one to Scott. But the way I'll bet this, I'm going to try to beat journalism in the picks. I'll leave them out. And I'm going to try to, you know, play these three horses in exactas, tries, and supers, and just hope maybe journalism fades all the way back to third or fourth, and you can make a pretty good score in the race.
Yeah, so Gosker is one of my three. The other one is the Baffert horse, Goal Oriented. I think he's a talented animal. I wasn't in the country for the Preakness, so I didn't handicap it. I didn't watch it. But I just watched a replay of Goal Oriented. He looked pretty good. He was on the inside, and he looked like he had his mind on business. He was unsettled at the gate, and he was like in and among horses, and he looked like he had his mind on running. But then when he got bumped from behind by journalism, you know, normally I write off trouble that comes from the behind the horse. But as Baffert said, he's a big horse, and he can't just shake off trouble like that and re-rally. He's a big horse. He's 1,272 pounds, and you know, he's been asked to do a hell of a lot. In his first race, he beat four horses that went on. Four of the six horses he beat went on and won their next race. Then his next race, which was first race going two turns, three of the horses that he beat came back and won. And then on 2 weeks rest, he went to Pimlico to run in the Preakness. And he ran pretty dang well, all things considered. And since then, he's been working like a mad dog. It's almost all bullets. He's got a 58.5 furlong workout. I did watch that work. I'm not smart enough to know whether it was good, but he looked good to me. And the main thing is he ran another furlong, kept on cruising farther and farther ahead of his workmate. So, you know, he always gets bet. Baffert always gets bet in the Haskell, so not going to be any value, but he's still going to be 3 or 4 to 1, and he'll be on my tickets.
Yeah, and those workouts, they were using a target, so it looks to me like they're not going to send him. They're going to try to get him to stock, because all his workouts, they've been, you know, using a target for him to run at. And you know, you're right about, you know, that he was plan B in that Preakness. They were going to run, you know, I can't remember the horse, but the other horse they were going to run.
Rodriguez.
Yeah. He couldn't go. So they rushed him into that. You know, that's just not the way Baffert normally does things. He does exactly what he's doing here. He likes to put a bunch of drills, give him time between races, drill him like crazy, you know, and get him ready. So he's much more likely to run well here than he was there. So again, he's a horse that can improve a lot off of that race. But Baffert's having a terrible year in grade ones on the dirt with 3-year-olds. He hasn't hit the board yet. So, you know, that he certainly knows how to train and win this race, but that's a little bit of a negative. But this horse certainly should improve. Again, you know, he should be improving when journalism could be taking a step back. So that's the way I'm going to play it. That's the third horse. And, you know, it doesn't sound like you're getting a lot of value, but if you're beating the horse everybody's singling and picks, or everyone's going to be using in exotics, and then you can make some money. But you have to play it either way. You've got to just ride journalism, and I think that's not the way to bet this race. But if you really like him, I could see doing that. Or you fade him completely and try to make a score, and that's the way I'm going to play it.
Well, I would like to make a few points here. First of all, I feel like I've been sitting in a handicapping 101 class. If you guys are right about this douche not running here, journalism, then I'm gonna have to go back to the books. I'm not saying this facetiously. I mean, you guys really make some tremendous points. You've been making me second guess myself, truthfully. So, and Baffert's won this race like 11 times or something. So, another note I wanted to make. I'm going to disagree with Chris. I thought that the one caused the problems in Preakness. I wouldn't have taken journalism down.
How so?
I watched the replay the other day. How can you not say that the two might have come out a little bit when he tried to go between horses, but the one sawed off the deuce after that, sawed him right in half. The one came in, obviously came in. So I would never have taken journalism down in that race. That's me.
I guess we're watching two different races.
I'm going to go watch it again after we hang up.
Yeah, watch who initiates all the contact. Who was in the jet? Who was totally boxed in, had nowhere to go.
Well, and just it was an imbecilic move.
That's what started the whole thing. After
that,
it doesn't matter what happened.
Imbecilic move by the jockey. But I didn't think that he started a chain reaction.
Go back and
they
watch
didn't
the
take him down.
No
I'm
going
to go back and watch it. All I'm going to go back and watch it. And I'm going to send you a text after I do.
Okay, because you know, once he bowled his way through, whatever happens after that doesn't matter. He's initiated everything. And the one horse doesn't have to give up his spot because he's trapped. He's just got to, like every other rider would do.
I'm going to watch it again.
Wait
again. Handicapping 101. I feel like I've been
and go around.
Class.
You can't just bull your way through.
I feel like
he did what Irad does on the turf all the time. And he gets away with it. And he got away with it. But to me, you know, you shouldn't be letting riders get away with that because that's how people get hurt.
There was one other point I wanted to make on Burnham Square. The last race was a four-horse race in East Avenue. Had the most glaring pace advantage of any race I think I've ever seen in my life. He couldn't lose that day. And Burnham Square ran his eyeballs out. In any kind of a full field with any other little speed in the race, you would have won the race.
Well, I think if Hernandez had just gotten off the rail, he would have won.
You're probably right.
He
was
really
bogged
hoping,
down on the rail too.
I'm really hoping he doesn't do his standard hug the rail with this horse, because this horse, when he gets out in the clear, he finishes. And if he just lets him get out in the clear, he's going to finish. But if he sticks him inside, you know, he and Rispoli could get both their horses beat with these, you know,
they very well could. And you could be right about you could be right about everything.
We'll see.
The race remains to be seen, and I'm going to go watch the replay again because I don't know. I've seen it a few times, and it looks to me like the one caused everything. So, but maybe I'm wrong about that too.
Yeah, and the race could. You know, journalism could run big or he could run poorly. Either way, I don't think it proves anything I've said right or wrong. I just think, thinking about it from a betting standpoint, long term,
I understand.
Journalism is the kind of horse you bet against. Doesn't mean he's always going to lose, but at 2-5 or 3-5, he's the one he's going to lose more often. So often enough where it's a bad bet on him, and it's probably a good bet to try to beat him. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not like journalism's not going to win. I don't feel that way, but I feel like it's a good chance to try to beat him. So I'm going to try it with the pick four, which I think is what, 14% at Monmouth, Chris?
I think they have, if pick fours and pick fives are cheap, I'm going off memory. Let me look. Maybe I can check real quick to make sure I'm not giving anybody bad information.
I think
on
it's
that.
15% for the pick four and the pick five.
Yeah, their pick four and pick five are the two races, two bets that you want to, you know, play at Monmouth. They're the lowest takeout.
All right, so it's time for our best value and most likely winner segment. Ross, you prepared?
Well, you mean of the races we picked, or just
the races we picked.
Well,
we'll also do spot plays for all your other winners.
My most likely winner is randomized, the 3 and the 10th, and my value would be fierce and strong, I suppose.
Chris? Playing the role of Scott on this pod is Chris.
Oh, is it my turn? Okay.
Chris, but it was quick.
I'm with Ross on randomized. And I think that's the most likely winner. At the 9-2 morning line, it would be the best value, but I don't think that's going to happen. So best value would have to be probably between if who Carino goes, it would be between him and Burnham Square. I'm not, they're both about the same, probably going to be about the same price and about the same likelihood of winning. So it's kind of a toss up. I can't really choose between those two.
All right. I'm going to do something I did with Gosker when he won the Lexington. I'm going to make Rebel Red my best value and most likely winner.
Nice.
I really like this horse. And
wow. That's a tough race to have a most likely winner. So that's a good race to be singling in for sure. So if you're right about that, that's not a bad way to play it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be right, but I really like this horse. So.
All right. I do too. I like him. I've always liked him. I've cashed on him a couple times. So.
What about spot plays? You guys have any?
I have one bomb that I could maybe give out.
Okay.
In the seventh race, the 1 mile turf, entry 11 allowance race. I kind of like the five a little bit. Sandpipes, 15 to 1 morning line. I think he's got the right style for the race. They took the blinkers on, you know, like those. He had a tough trip last time. I think there's enough speed to set up a little late run here. So I think if you get a decent trip, might light up the tote a little bit.
Sandpipes, 15 to 1 morning line. Trained by Lindsay Schultz, ridden by Brian Hernandez. I haven't gotten to that race yet, so I can't say. Chris, do you have any spot plays?
I got one that kind of links back to the pod last week. There was a turf race we talked about that ended up getting washed off, where I liked two horses in that race. They're pretty much that whole field is back in the eighth race on Saturday at Saratoga. The difference is it's a longer distance. It's 11 furlongs. The two horses I liked were a horse that was making its U.S. debut for Taraj, and a horse that had a tough post. And if it had a better post, I would have liked it more, but it's post six now. The six horse Better Lucky Than Good. So Taraj and Better Lucky Than Good are both back in that race. I think the longer distance actually helps Taraj. I didn't like its recent workout, but it was just a maintenance move because the race got canceled. But so I think the distance helps. That workout makes me a little nervous because this horse has been so long since it's ran. But Better Lucky Than Good, the better post really helps him. The distance is a little more of a question for him, but no reason to think he wouldn't stretch out. So those two, I like them both. In the eighth at Saratoga, again, sort of a second chance at those horses after they were all scratched when the race came off the turf last week. So I'll go with that as a spot play.
All right. So I don't have a spot play on Saturday, but I'm going to go ahead and make a spot play on Sunday. Last week in that race that you're talking about, Taraj, I liked B of Courage. He was my long shot of the day. And he scratched, of course, because they were off the turf. And he is back in a race. I haven't handicapped it yet, but I don't know. I'm not even sure who he's running against. In the third at Saratoga on Sunday, B of Courage. I love the horse. Now, maybe one of the other horses, if there's a new face, I might not be as enthusiastic. But either way, I'm going to be making a bet on B of Courage. And that would be my spot play, which we could be talking about this pod for a week on Twitter if that comes in. So anyway, that's all I have to offer.
Why would you be talking about it for a week?
Just because, you know, the horses that we picked last week, four of my five winners last week scratched. So if they all come back, I might be like, hey, I picked that horse.
I like the way Scott said that. It says that four of my five winners. It's four of my five winners.
Four of my five winners.
Like, no, we're all going to win next time. So just make sure you write it down.
Did I say four of my five winners?
Yes, you did. They were all winners.
Well, you know, they're winners until proven losers. So there you go. Anyway, it was a great pod, great speaking to you guys, and I do want to thank Ross for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's always a blast with you guys, always. I love it. I couldn't love it more, really.
All right, that will conclude. You want to add something?
I was just gonna say, thank you very much, Ross, for joining us, but that's fine. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Scott.
Okay, I'll edit that part out. Just kidding. Just kidding. That will conclude show number 329 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck in Monmouth and wherever else you play. Please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.